Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. Interesting weekend of Trump denials and obfuscation and distraction and shiny stuff. And of course, the partying going on in Mar-a-Lago. But hey, never mind. Never mind all of the negative stuff. On Friday, though, big news. Friday indictment day. 13 Russians indicted, three companies. And oh, by the way, we found out that Gates is flipping. And that's huge news. And here to talk a little bit about why it's so important, I've asked our good friend Andrea Chalupa to come talk with us. Andrea, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you. Thanks for playing Rage, by the way.
Yeah, so why is this a big deal? Why are the indictments a big deal? And why, with the Gates flipping, because now you've got three who have flipped, why is Gates important in all of this?
Because Gates is like Manafort light. He has a lot of the dirtiness, the illicit money, and the torturous lobbyist, you know, clients. But Manafort has been doing it for a lot longer and a lot deeper and has greater influence in that whole sphere. So Gates is still wrapped up in that industry. And so he knows where the bodies are buried, which makes him extremely useful for Mueller. Makes him extremely useful for allowing Mueller to build the pressure on Manafort, who is going to be a very tough nut to crack. Manafort is someone who, you know, as they say, very much has blood on his hands. He was close with the overthrown former president of Ukraine, Viktor Yanukovych, who was, you know, considered to be a puppet, Vladimir Putin. And Manafort, in advising him, was basically helped bring to power Yanukovych, who was a Trumpian president who stole an estimated $100 billion. He and his family and his little crony circle stole an estimated $100 billion from the Ukrainian people. And there's, you know, a violent uprising, which Yanukovych, you know, tried to crack down hard on. You know, people were tortured, kidnapped, killed. And so, you know, Manafort being a sort of a hand to the king of Yanukovych, very much is sort of complicit in that violence, that human rights crisis of Ukraine's revolution. So Manafort is somebody that just simply doesn't care about the loss of life, whether it's to enrich himself, his clients. He was on contract for many years, a $10 million a year contract with the Russian oligarch Deripaska, who's very, very, very close with Putin. You know, and Manafort's job was to further the interests of Putin's government. So all of this is to say that Manafort is in this so deep that I have a hard time believing that he will ever flip. Like, he's somebody that reminds me of, like he'll go down firing. So anything that Gates can provide Mueller to sort of put that extra pressure on is obviously key. And anything Gates can provide Mueller as well to ring in the Trump family, to ring in Trump himself. So it was a historic day, you know, since this whole 2016 crisis has unfolded. Definitely Friday was a massive, massive victory, of progress for the FBI, yeah, as we've learned.
Because, you know, I've been looking at this, and as you pointed out, I don't think Manafort ever flips. And I don't think that I think he's done so much that I don't know that you could give him the kind of deal that would allow him to flip. And I don't think we should. He should never get, you know, immunity or off on most of the crimes that we've heard he's committed. So the question is Gates enough, do you think? Does he know where all the bodies are? And is this that huge piece of the puzzle that inevitably brings Trump and the Trump campaign down?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we know Gates and Manafort were very close and, you know, in working together. And Manafort was still advising the transition team, which was managed by Vice President Mike Pence. You know, Flynn was a part of that team as well. Ivanka was involved in that as well. So this is like, these guys were, you know, the clown car, the Kremlin clown car, driving into the White House and just, you know, committing a lot of stupid acts out in the open. It was very easy, for instance, for Michael Flynn to get caught calling the Russians, calling the, you know, Ambassador Kislyak 5 times in a single day when Obama, you know, announced sanctions. So, you know, they must have known, given how the sort of web they were working in, that they were being monitored, given like their interest to the FBI. You know, Manafort certainly by then was being investigated by the FBI, because the FBI, upon Ukraine's invitation, was brought in to help search for the missing $100 billion that Yanukovych stole from Ukraine. So Manafort was already on the FBI's radar and being investigated at this point. So anybody around him sort of doing similar deals, you know, conversations overlapping, was getting caught up in that net. So I think Gates certainly was traveling in these, you know, and working intensely and under like the fishbowl scrutiny of the Trump transition team, the early Trump White House. But you know, there's a lot that we can be confident in that he knows, and there's a lot of people that he could sort of help Mueller bring in, certainly.
Yeah, now one of the things that Trump tweeted out today was, you know, and it's now the right wing frame in all of this, that, you know, Barack Obama was president up to and including the election of 2016. All of this stuff went on his watch. Therefore, it's actually Obama's fault for not stopping the meddling and not doing anything, which I think what they're trying to say is the reason we haven't done anything in the last more than a year is because they didn't do anything. So, you know, we're not guilty as they are not guilty.
Well, you know, the Trump is very guilty for a number of reasons. I mean, there's research pointing to the fact that he is on track to be one of the most corrupt presidents in American history. He has a long list of, you know, things he's guilty for. In terms of Russia, he is an open ally to Vladimir Putin. He refused to enact sanctions. He selected Rex Tillerson, who has a long friendship with Putin, to be the Secretary of State. And Tillerson right away went to sort of purging the State Department and weakening it and getting rid of programs like fighting corruption, empowering independent media in developing countries, programs that Putin hates in his own backyard. You know, Tillerson got rid of those. So there's a long list of ways Trump has been benefiting Putin. And one of those is also embarrassing the United States, humiliating the United States with, you know, the constant horror headlines that come out of the Trump White House. Trump also attacks our allies. So Trump just gives Putin a pass and praises him and refuses to be critical of him on any single front. And the two of them will have conversations, you know, casual conversations when they have to be at a conference together. They'll kind of go off on the side, you know, and Trump won't follow protocol, which could lead to, you know, security issues for the United States. So Trump is very much behaving as somebody who is grateful for Putin's help in helping him get elected. As for Obama, you know, that is a conversation we should be having, because Obama's isolationist foreign policy, his naive overreach foreign policy, I think those factors certainly did contribute to the situation we are in now. And a very excellent documentary to watch on that is The Final Year, which just came out. And that follows Obama's final year in office, looking at his sort of wide-eyed, optimistic, naive foreign policy team. You know, Ben Rhodes especially, who went from being an aspiring novelist to the right-hand man to the President of the United States, and really driving a rosy-colored glasses foreign policy for the U.S., which completely underestimated Vladimir Putin, his determination, and his, you know, absolute greed, and just, you know, just having a singular agenda where he just wanted to, you know, infiltrate other countries to benefit, you know, not necessarily Russia, because Russians were, you know, investing all this money into sort of, you know, infiltrating, for instance, like the U.S. since 2014 with this massive, far-reaching troll operation, for one example, and doing all these things to sort of wield his power on the global stage. Meanwhile, that's money that could have been invested into the Russian people, Russia is at a decade high of the number of Russians living in poverty. What we learned from Mueller on Friday in the indictments is that the Russian operation to infiltrate our election, the budget for that went up to $1.2 million a month. Wow. And that's massive. And they had a big operation. They had, you know, different departments, a finance department, an SEO department, a graphics department. It was like a big company just sprouted up to influence the United States and really hijack our election.
What do you say to the defense, though, that, you know, all this stuff, all the Russian meddling happened long before, you know, Trump announced he was going to run for president? You know, all that stuff was before. There's no way he could have possibly been a party to all this, because it's been going on forever, and it's what they've been doing.
Well, Trump was the perfect asset for the Russians because he was for years talking about running for president, and he attempted to run for president in 2012. And so, you know, he had it. Trump running for president has been out there, discussed out in the open for years. And he's somebody that just fits the psychological profile of somebody who could easily be blackmailed and manipulated, you know, just through basic flattery, through sending around porn stars. You know, he's such an ideal mark for the Russians that it's not surprising that they would sort of develop a relationship with him over time. So I think the dates you really want to look at to sort of see how all of this sort of heated up between Trump and the Russians are how he was over there in 2013 for the Miss Universe pageant in Moscow. Putin was getting a lot of heat when he passed the anti-gay laws, which were very aggressive and, against Russian citizens. And that was, there was a huge global outcry against Putin's anti-gay laws. And suddenly, you know, like a week later, out of nowhere, you know, Trump announces his Miss Universe pageant. So here comes Trump giving them exciting PR, getting involved with the Russians, despite this horrible human rights crisis of the anti-gay laws that Putin had just passed. And then he comes back in November, and that's November 2013. And then sort of tensions start heightening between Russia and the West with the Ukraine crisis. The revolution breaks out in Ukraine. Putin, you know, in reaction to that, invades. Sanctions get passed against Russia. And that's in 2014. Then that's when you see like this whole troll bot army really being launched, taking off in a very aggressive, far-reaching way. And so when they're ready for Trump, you know, it would not surprise me if he was essentially activated through Manafort, through others around him. There's a long list of pro-Putin Russians, Eastern Europeans who are around Trump and Trump circle. It wouldn't surprise me if they sort of lured him in to get him to run when they needed him. And in fact, that's something that a member of the intelligence committee shared with me immediately after the election, during a time of great crisis when all of us were sort of working the phones and trying to figure out what do you know, what are you hearing. And that was sort of that was a discussion I had with someone from the IC at that time. So yeah, no, it's scary. It's very scary what we're dealing with right now with a Russian asset in the White House.
Let me ask you this. I mean, because, you know, I've always taken the position that, you know, they're very clever. I mean, I had a former CIA agent tell me most of the time when you've been gotten, you don't even know you've been gotten. Is it possible that he, in his mind, doesn't believe he's done anything wrong and was actually played beyond his ability to understand?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're absolutely right about, you know, all spies, you know, from different countries. That's pretty standard to build a psychological profile on someone so you can manipulate them. That's standard. You know, I have a friend who works in for one of the big agencies. And when the Chinese hack came and took everything, you know, that U.S. government workers had to sort of provide, like, massive background, intimate background checks, the Chinese now have that, which they can use to sort of influence our agents out in the field. So yeah, so it's obvious that somebody like Trump is an easy nut to crack for anybody. and he's somebody that has shown just a struggle with reality. And we've known that for a while, and it was emphasized so strongly when he claimed to have, you know, like the largest inauguration crowd in history. And he claimed that it was like a sea of people. And he claimed falsely again that when he came out to speak the sun came out when instead it just started raining when he came to the podium. So he's someone who, you know, repeatedly is divorced from reality. And so he could have been in on the thing, in on the entire conspiracy from the beginning and just, you know, have such a level of dementia or such a, like, a personality disorder that he can't even, you know, accept reality, because we see him being unable to accept reality in the way that he governs as president.
No, I agree, because I've said from the very beginning, I don't know that he was involved. I believe Junior and the son-in-law and all of them being ambitious and arrogant and not very bright on top of it, I believe they have they're eyeball deep in this. I'm waiting to see how this all plays out. So last line of questioning I've got then, because, you know, this is we're moving quickly forward. And the hope is that we see something before the 2018 midterms. What kind of time frame are you looking at this thing wrapping up, or Mueller, the next set of indictments, or any thoughts?
Well, Mueller bagging Gates is a big deal. It very much is, because Gates was a soldier for that team. So he's a gift that could keep on giving for Mueller. So what we're seeing is Mueller is going for the low-hanging fruit first and sort of building his way in, circling in. So it does seem to be accelerating. Like, this indictment on the 13 indictments on Friday were, you know, a massive statement by Mueller, just outlining just one aspect of the scope of what the Russians did. It's just one aspect. This was not simply a campaign of Facebook, Twitter ads and bots. No, there's far more to it than that. Which we can go into, which we have gone into in other conversations we've had. But it's a wide sweeping investigation. There are multiple investigations, and Jared Kushner is the next low hanging fruit. That's just so obvious to everyone.
That was going
to
be my next bit of this.
He's like the next after Manafort. You know, it's just his, and he has that sort of like the carelessness of a Michael Flynn, and the naivety of a Michael Flynn, and also just like the corrupt dirtiness of a Manafort. And he was in charge of running the campaign's digital operation. And so, you know, he was in the room on the June 2016 Trump Tower meeting with the Kremlin representatives and Don Jr. and Manafort. And, you know, he must have been proactive, as he was known to be throughout the campaign, as sort of like the shadow campaign manager. He's very much, my gosh, he's, you know, first comes Manafort, then comes Jared Kushner, in terms of just that fitting that profile of just stupidity, carelessness, hubris, and having your tentacles all over the thing. So that's where my money would be. And of course, that would be a direct shot right into the heart of the Trump family, because as everyone often says, Ivanka is the favorite child. Ivanka is her father, but in a prettier package. So for Mueller to grab Ivanka's husband, that's going to be we're going to be reaching some very Shakespearean levels here in our country in terms of the news outbreak. It's going to be extremely, extraordinarily interesting.
Yeah, most certainly. I mean, and since you bring up Shakespearean, does Junior flip?
Junior, well, you know, I heard, it's so funny, because all the dinner parties now, you know, no matter where you are, become just these political salons and try to put the pieces together. And I happen to be sitting in one dinner party in New York City, you know, next to a man who was very quiet and just sort of listening. And he finally contributed and said, you know, I'm friends with Don. I went to college with him. And I finally caught up with him, like, in spring of 2016 for lunch. And I was just like, man, what are you doing? Like, what are you guys doing? This is crazy. And he's like, yeah, I know. And just sort of, and the reason why it was so crazy, he was saying, is because Don Jr. never had a great relationship with his kids. We know that. That's well known. But, you know, Trump was not a great dad. And I've heard stories in New York City, you know, from people who knew the kids growing up, or, you know, had or at one point in their lives, and Trump was basically divorced from their lives except for, you know, financial support. So for them to sort of emotionally, there's not a lot of emotional risk there, one can imagine, for them to like turn on their father for the sake of their own children and their own families. You know, his dad has had a good run. But I do think that Donald Trump does have some Teflon on him, which we've seen repeatedly. But I do think the people around him don't necessarily have that same Teflon. So I think the net is going to be cast wide, and I think he's going to leave a trail of people he's going to stab in the front to just let them fall to Mueller. I don't know if Trump survives this or not, because I just don't know. But I do think Kushner would be a solid contender for getting an indictment soon, as well as Don Jr. And if you look at Brad Pascal, who ran, you know, who worked on the digital for the Trump campaign, he wrote some passive-aggressive tweet coming out and saying, you know, he tried to act like a cheerleader, saying that not a single decision was made when it came to the Trump campaign without Jared Kushner's approval. The way he wrote it was to in a sort of fake tone of like trying to boost up Jared. But what he was really doing, of course, was throwing Jared under the bus.
Yep.
And saying, no, this was the guy. I was just a minion. Because Brad Pascal probably saw the lawyer bill that he would need in order to defend himself.
That's an excellent point.
I don't deserve this. It's like, it should go to that trust fund kid, Jared, who got himself into this mess.
Well, it will be interesting to see. Andrea, I appreciate you taking some time, sharing some thoughts. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it.
Always good stuff. Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.